Expand your heart. Open up for your eyes. We can own everything without ever knowing why. It's in every one of us. I am. It's in every one of us. I just remembered it's like I've been sleeping for years. I'm not awake as I can be, but my seeing's better. I can see through the tears. I've been realizing that I've bought this ticket and I'm watching only half of the show. There was scenery and lights and a cast of thousands who all know what I know. And it's good that it's so. It's in every one of us to be wise. Find your it's in every one of us, by and by. It's in every one of us, by and
if you don't seem to be singing, I'll just switch to another song. And it's really good to see everyone. Mary, it's good to see you. This is a song about love between the brothers and the sisters. Love between my brothers and my sisters. That's a good song, right?
Brothers and sisters.
Land. It's a song about love between my brothers and my sisters. Love between my brothers and my sisters. Love between your widow. Love between my sisters. Love between my brothers and 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 my sisters. All over this land.
Sometimes things in our lives go really well, smoothly, and sometimes they don't. This past week, two tiny little examples. Like last Sunday, I was down in Farmington, and it was a wonderful day. You know, the talk went well, the people were warm and friendly, we went out to lunch. I mean, it was a great day. And then in the afternoon, I think I talked to family, took a nap, you know, with the dogs on the couch. It was a great day. Monday was a good day too. I can't remember exactly what all happened, but I kind of felt like I should go buy a lottery ticket. You know, those kind of days.
Yeah, I do.
Yes. Yeah. And then later in the week, one late afternoon, early evening, I was sitting and I was watching a show on a stream, you know, show. And the internet went down. Of course, my show went down too. What's the deal? So I did everything I knew to do, you know, turn off the router, turn it back on, all that kind of stuff. And then I was, you know, just irritated. Well, I can't watch my show anymore. Well, maybe I could read a book. Well, my books are on my iPad, and I need the internet to be able to get to them. So, okay, I guess I won't read. Fine. But what's on TV? So I have an internal antenna, so I can watch network TV. It was not a good day for that, you know. So anyway, It was up by the next morning. I went to bed early because we have a new fiber system in my subdivision, and I love it. I got it several months ago, fiber optic, and it's been really reliable, which I think is part of the reason, because it was so unusual for it to go down. Anyway, and I see how much I depend on my internet. You know, I can't go do this, I can't do this. Anyway, but we made it through. And then the next day, it was okay, but somewhere between 5 and 6, again, same time, power goes out. Well, I thought it was inconvenient to not have internet. I didn't have any power. So I don't know about you, but something's like, oh, for heaven's sakes, what is going on? And I had been to the grocery store that day, so I had all this stuff in the refrigerator, and I said, oh, I hope this doesn't last forever. And worry, just, oh my gosh, this is just... that irritation, you know, that feeling, like, oh, for heaven's sakes, why me? When it's just, this is... The power was only out less than an hour. Like, an hour later, it was back on, and I was like, oh, okay. It really wasn't such a bad deal. When we look at what our responses are to challenges, now granted those were pretty minor challenges, we might say, what is my response? You know, our response. If I asked you, what is your response when something challenging comes on? Probably your answer is going to be something along the lines of, well, it depends. It does depend on a lot, right? It depends on how serious the challenge is, having to be without internet for a few hours, having the power off for an hour, not an issue. Sometimes the impact is pretty devastating, and of course, that's going to affect our response. Some other things are how we're feeling. There's some great commercials on TV that show movie stars, you know, doing some activity, and they're grouchy, but as soon as they eat a candy bar, I think it is, then they're back to themselves. So if you're just out of sorts, if you're hungry, if you're cold, you know, that will impact what your response will be. The potential impact. I was worried about my groceries, you know, but on more serious things, that you may be projecting, you know, what it could be too. And even perhaps the meaning that we're making of whatever it is. We might say, why me? There's a story in this little booklet that I thought was really appropriate. It was written by, it's an article written by Reverend Bill Engelhart. I don't know him. Do you know him? Yes. Anyway, it caught my eye because of that why me kind of idea. In here, he talks about how he was over in London working and living. He loved it. Things were going really, really well. And then one day he found a lump on his body. That's a pretty scary thing. When you think about impact, it could be a significant impact. Anyway, he called his doctor in the United States, and the doctor said, when you come back to the States in 6 weeks, let's get an ultrasound so we can see if it's cancer. And I'd like to share what he said about that. He said, in that moment, I went from no worries to potentially the ultimate worry, the end of my life. Yeah, of course. And then, he says, being in a state of shock with my brain at a loss to comprehend this development, I was totally vulnerable. I was also entirely receptive to my higher power. Without missing a beat, spirit responded in a way I never would have expected, but in that moment was absolutely perfect. In the response from spirit to my question, why me, was, why not you? He says, this seems harsh, but was profound to me, even laughed. And he said that what he did was he surrendered. He took that in and apparently was very much listening to spirit, was aligned with spirit, and he was able to, he said, he surrendered to what was and what would be. That requires trust, a trust in God. He felt gratitude for his life, and it says that he even thanked the lump for being a wake-up call. That's pretty amazing. That's when he said that he remembered an author, a writer, Meister Eckhart. You probably heard of him, 13th century philosopher. And it says that, I have it written over here. If the only prayer you ever say in your life, in your entire life, is thank you, it will be enough. Sometimes it seems impossible, does it not? When you're in the midst of this challenge, to get there, to go to, thank you. How can we, in our lives today, how can we get from why me to thank you? Well, first of all, I want to take a look at what happens when we receive news of whatever this is, the challenge, whatever the challenge is. Our primitive brain can kick in if, you know, we are wired, we are alive, I'm sure, because that amygdala in the primitive brain has been used to letting us know when something is a danger, something's really wrong for our whole mankind's survival depended on it. Now, these days, we can get into that fight, flight, or freeze mode when it feels like there's something really wrong, there's something really dangerous. So when that happens, we're flooded with all these emotions, probably fear, maybe anger, dismay, just very strong, powerful emotions. So the first thing that we can do is recognize something's happening here and look at what we want to do with all this emotion. We can do one of three things. We can stuff them, we can allow them to rule, or we can manage them. Now in reality, if you have something devastating, you know that it isn't simple, well, I'm going to do this one, and then this one, and this one, or even this one, or that one. A lot of times it's a big soup of all of that. But our aim and our goal is to get to the manage one. Stuffing. We know that stuffing our emotions is not healthy. It's not good. Because what I've seen is two things happen. One is it's going to come out later at perhaps a very inappropriate time. When you try to stuff it, and if you keep handling your emotions that way, that's one thing that happens. We need the ability to take care of what needs to be taken care of at certain times, and we have a built-in kind of shock numbness reaction that happens, which allows us to sort of compartmentalize. And I think that that's not the same as stuffing. It's sort of like it allows us to put the challenge aside for a minute to do whatever needs to be done. If there's been a death, then we take care of the business of all that ensues there. We can pick up the emotions of all that as they become more, we can feel them more again, but we don't stuff them. Now, what happens if we let the feelings rule? Did you ever see road rage? Well, the people that are letting their feelings rule. I get how silly and little this is, but if I had allowed my irritation, my feelings to rule the other day, I might have been writing letters to the cable or the fiber company and complaining to all my friends. When we let those feelings get us to that place of why me, that victim kind of thing, that place of this shouldn't be happening, that's what can happen if we let them roll. So we want to get out of that as quickly as we can. In reality, after the no internet for an hour and a half, I was able to go, you know, this is really peaceful. I'm not checking my phone, I'm not looking at this, you know, so I mean, we want to get past the poor me. We want to get past the self-pity and kind of thing. So, and then manage them. Sometimes if it's really a devastating or shocking or dramatic challenge that has come up, sometimes that is a process rather than an event. When we are dealing with all these feelings, I learned how to do this. It is good for us to, for me, and probably for others, to find a time and a place where I could be with those feelings. I can express them, I can write about them, I can cry, I can do whatever I want or need, and some of the energy of it dissipates. So each time I do it, it gets a little better, a little easier, and that's what I call managing. whatever the situation is, if it's not grief, it's, you know, could anger for something, just be with it, work with it, process it. Manage it so it doesn't manage you. So that's actually kind of the second thing that you can do. First is to recognize something has happened and my feelings have come up. I need to do something. So choose how to do it and begin to do that. What I wanted to share about managing, I said, I think that choosing to manage ourselves and our feelings allows us to experience and to grow from whatever the situation was. And it's different for everyone. Life brings us a variety of challenges, and some of us have had more, some of us have had the less. I remember a long time ago, I was volunteering for an organization, and they had some sort of fundraiser at a toy shop, I think in Clayton or somewhere. Anyway, I happened to hear a woman who was on the board telling her friend how absolutely shattered she was because of her divorce. And at the time, I was run along with three under my belt, and I had losses, and I'm thinking, are you kidding? Wonderful. It is not good to measure anybody's. I will almost fight someone who says, well, it's only a dog. You know? So when these things happen, we don't know. We can't judge how we are with whatever that is. We need to be present to the person. So helping them to manage it, get past it, and learn to grow is a wonderful thing to do. When we surrender, we become willing. That willingness is so important. If we're not willing, there's a resistance. Even if we know something's the right thing or best thing for us, if we're not willing, we're really working against ourselves. So anyway, surrendering is a really wonderful thing. One thing that happened with Reverend Engelhart, I think is true for many of us who have been through something big, something challenging, and that caused, what it is it causes us often to reprioritize. You know, if you have an accident, if you've lost a loved one, if you've lost a job, but you know, there are many things that can really cause you to look at your life and say, well, what is important? You know, what do I want to do with this? And in that reprioritization for Reverend Engelhart, he realized that he had been, you know, loving his life, doing the work, everything was really good, but he realized in that 6 weeks before he came back to the United States, by the way, his tests showed that it was negative, it was not cancer. But in that 6 weeks, he realized that he regretted not going to seminary, not going to Unity to become a minister. And so changed his path and became a minister. How many of us have veered a direction because of something that has happened? I know I have. And then the final thing that we can do when something like this comes along is to practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. It's easy to be grateful for the obvious blessings. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for the times that we have been together. I am grateful for my family, my friends, and I'm sure you are too. I'm grateful for the stability in my life. I'm grateful that I've got internet that can go down. All of that, that's easy. What is harder is what Meister Eckhart is talking about. Thank you for everything. It's harder to say thank you for something difficult. But it is possible. With a change of a shift, actually, in your thinking, when there is something that is happening, like, honestly, like the internet and realizing how peaceful it was, a shift in your attitude, in your thinking about something can be amazing. There was a time in my life when I was told to look for the blessings, and I thought, there are no blessings in this. there cannot be any, it was like beyond my comprehension. But, in a some period of time, I did. I started doing that. That changes you. By looking for blessings, looking for them, your perspective has changed. You're not looking for all the bad things that could happen. You're not anticipating anything. You are looking for the good. And what do we always see? What we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So be grateful. Just wanted to mention Joseph. He's a wonderful example of always coming out better. He went through some horrendous things, absolutely. His brother sold him into slavery.
Right.
We can't even imagine that. He was given to an overseer. He gained the overseer's regard and respect, and he was doing books, I think, for the overseer. Wasn't like a slave anymore, he was a worker, more or less. And then the overseer's wife tried to seduce him, Joseph, and he refused her. So she said that he had told her husband he had tried to rape her. And he was thrown into prison. Any one of those times, Joseph could have been saying, why me? Good grief, haven't I had enough? When he was in prison, he became well known for being able to translate interpret dreams. And it was because of that talent that his name was mentioned to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was having a dream he couldn't understand, and the best that he had couldn't explain it to him. Because Joseph could, he foretold famine and feast and famine. And so that then not only was the nation saved, but also surrounding countries that would come, and he and his family were restored. And one of the things that he said when he was talking to his brother was, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So as we're looking at these things, looking for the blessings is a way that we can always come out of these things. When we're looking for blessings, we stop paying attention to our human problems and we are attending our divine ideas. So I have an invitation for you, and that is I would like for you to practice this idea of thank you in everything. Being thankful for blessings, look for blessings in the hard experiences. For 1 week, let your prayers be thank you. And then, as we look at what might happen if we are all able to do that, is each of us is going to have a much happier perspective on life. And we know that we're all about energy. And so as each of us, all of us do that, not only are we sending out this gratitude energy that will transform the world, but we become models for others. They see us doing this, being this way. Imagine what it could be like. I think we do the Lord's blessing between now and the truth. Sorry, I forget. All right, so let's begin to practice the prayer that Jesus taught us. We'll say thank you first, but then let's join together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Amen. I invite you now to come together in mind and heart with everyone in this room, each person in this room, with spirit. We are reminded that we are all one. And so let's practice that this morning. First step is to first consciously, purposely relax your body and your mind. The body is relaxed faster by taking deep, slow breaths. The natural response is to relax. Another deep breath in and exhale and release. And then we turn our attention to our minds. Sometimes it is difficult to get the mind to be still. But we know that there is always chatter, there are always thoughts that are going through. And so we go further, deeper within, so that kind of like we're an observer of what's happening in our minds. We see the thoughts, notice them, and then allow them to float on. We don't hold on to anything. We might even adopt kind of a listening, as if we are awaiting something to come to us. We're still, quiet, receptive, and willing. In this place, we find safety. Sometimes the world begins to feel like such a dangerous place. And it's very tiring to stand guard. It's exhausting sometimes to keep a positive outlook. And yet in this oneness, each and every time we go within, we find peace, like we heard about today in the daily word. And that peace is different from anything in the outer world. This peace is the truth of us. It is our natural way of being. And so, as today and each time we do this, we strengthen that peace. We become stronger, better able to quickly move to this silent place of peace, so that our lives are easier. We can be a token of peace, an instrument of peace in these turbulent times. We are safe. Once we are peaceful, we begin to notice our hearts expanding. We are sitting here among like-minded people. We know that God is love, and we know that as creations and expressions of God, we too are love in expression. We allow ourselves to experience that. That loved one that's perhaps beside you, friends and family, we can feel the swelling of love that comes up when we bring these people and things to our minds. This love is a natural expression of who we are. We are peace, and we are love. And as we are love, we experience joy. It is our natural way of being to be joyful. We know truth, with a capital T. And as we sit in this space of peace and love and joy, this energy of peace and love and joy, we find ourselves renewed, re-energized, comforted, strengthened, anything and everything that you need in this moment. And we also become very receptive to divine ideas, those things that allow us to channel our spiritual gifts and energies outward into the world to be the unique expression of the Christ. And so we take just a few moments today to be peace, be love, experience joy in the silence. Our hearts expand and swell in the realization, the recognition, the awareness of our Christ selves. We are joyful, and we bring this peaceful, loving, joyous energy with us as we complete this time of contemplation, as we go forth into our lives. We become that shining light that models love. We are willing, we are one with God, and we are grateful. Thank you, God. Amen.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under ocean, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.